when it comes to the technical training, and most importantly as well, when it comes to putting all of this together to ensure that we're winning and we're visible on the global competitive stages and all of the big recognized stages around the world. My name is Nathaniel Atto. It's great to be in your company this afternoon, and this is a special with the director of the CK Jemfi Sports College, also known as the National Sports College, yes, situated within the University of Education, Winneba. We will be talking about everything that this college represents and what it's supposed to represent and what amount of work needs to be done here at the college. Well, here with me today for this very special conversation coming to you from the university, the National Sports College or the CK Jemfi Sports College, is Mr. Baf Hussaini. Mr. Baf Hussaini has had a long run in terms of how he has served this nation from the level of being a competitor and an athlete for Ghana, and also rising to through the ranks to serve as a Secretary General of Ghana Athletics and eventually becoming CEO of Ghana Athletics, and then eventually landing this role as the director for this sports college. After 40 years of existence, what role is the CK Jemfi Sports College or the National Sports College playing within the bigger mix of our sports development? And is it effective? Is it being felt? And is it seen as a place where there is a lot of technical training, where young or youthful talents are kept and honed? Are we also using this place as a national excellence center or a national high performance center? What is the state, and what do we need to do as a matter of urgency to ensure that this place becomes a big contributor when it comes to the bigger picture of Ghana's sports development? Mr. Baf Hussaini is my guest for today's Joy Sports Link here on Joy 99.7 FM, and also for Prime Take on the Joy Prime channel. Good to see you, Mr. Baf Hussaini, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Good to see you too. I know this is a huge platform, and I'm so honored. And we are honored, the Winneba Sports College staff and I. We are highly honored for this Saturday program and for the whole Joy News, Joy Prime News, to be on campus here.
Exactly.
I couldn't be more prouder than at this moment.
Great stuff there. Good to be here. And so congratulations are in order. Your personal journey in sport has been pretty remarkable, with all the challenges that we all face on a regular basis. It's been remarkable, and this is a big place. There's a lot of work to do, but of course, we'll also like to take some time to pay our respects to Coach Noah Bukari Bagbase, who was here within this space and has also done his bit, in terms of working within the situation to ensure that things get done.
Yeah, I mean, I call him Master Noah, the former director, has done so much. He has done a lot for this college to be where it is today. And he has been working here as the technical director for more than 25 years. So he knows the history of this college, and he knows what needs to be done to make this college an international sports excellence center. And I just want to say thank you to Master Noah for holding the fort to this level, and I'm just going to continue where he left off.
And of course, Coach Noah Bukari Bagbase, his specialty is tennis. He has, trained a whole lot of young, players who now find themselves in different places around the world. In terms of competitive opportunities, we don't have much on the calendar.
One of the best ITF trainers in Africa.
Wow.
I know he was doing his courses in Spain. He was lecturing in other African countries. So he has done a lot for Ghana sports, not only in tennis, but he's also a very good a taekwondo fighter.
Wow, yeah. Wow, amazing. Okay, so that means that you, aside being an athlete, should have used, this physique and everything for another sporting discipline. It wouldn't have been bad,
but I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of jumping. I can't jump. When I was in school, I tried doing basketball. It didn't go well with me.
Yeah.
I tried doing volleyball. It didn't go well with me, because once I started with athletics, I was just afraid to do something that will hurt my
your limbs,
my legs.
Okay.
So I instinctively, I was just afraid of doing any other sport. Actually, I've been a very good basketball player.
Wow, amazing. Yes,
like
yeah.
my colleagues, like the late Nash,
yeah.
and now the director of Eugene Sports,
yeah.
Dr. Austin.
Yeah.
When we were young, they were all doing basketball and volleyball. We thought we could have gone after them, but Atlanta just took everything from me.
You know, we are a month away from December 7th presidential and parliamentary elections. Some weeks ago, we brought the key actors within the two major political parties together. I'm talking about the NDC and the MPP. And what we intended to do with that conversation was to ensure that we're looking into the policy documents for sport and looking at where those policy documents fit in terms of our current reality and how it can feed in. I mean, it's very obvious that on December 7 or after December 7 and specifically on January 7, 2025, would have an administration, a new one, which will either be made of the NDC or the MPP. Therefore, it was important that we get into their policy documents. Now, there's been a lot of common themes. We've had common themes in these policy documents where some have decided to have, you know, specialized universities. There's a conversation about making, you know, the Botiban Sports Complex a specialized sports university. All these are still on the books and on the papers, but we're yet to see actual steps being taken to get these done. We have a lot to talk about between now and 2 p.m., but we'll do our best to see if we can squeeze everything in.
All right.
Yeah, before we get into the conversation, I'm looking at this place and I'm realizing that loads and loads of our national stars have passed through this place. One of them is the legendary Abedi Ayupele. He turned 60 today. What are your best memories of him?
Abedi Pele, my best memory of Abedi Pele was when we were young in Tamale.
Yeah.
There was a match between Atu, I don't know why he can remember that.
Yeah.
Atu and Okwau United.
Mm.
There was a player with Okwau called Alhaji Bello.
Yeah.
And when they came to Tamale, the first round, Abedi scored. No, Alhaji Bello scored and Abedi equalized.
I see.
And they went to the third match in Koko. The reverse happened.
Wow.
Abedi scored and Alhaji Bello equalized
yeah.
in Koko.
Yeah.
But so Abedi has been, both of us attended the same school in Ghana School.
Yeah.
Those days when we went to Ghana School, you see he has scraped his name on one of the rocks
yeah.
on the school campus. Mm. I don't know why they removed that one. They removed that rock.
Yeah, they should have kept it.
No, they should have kept it because that was something that inspired all of us when we were in Ghana School.
Wow.
Yes, anytime we want to train, some athlete will go and see, okay, this is where Abedi sat. He wrote his name here and the year and everything. I don't know when they were doing renovation, they took it for it, but that was a bad decision to have removed it. So Abedi, anybody at all who grew up in Tamale beyond 35 and 40 years will still have very good fond memories of Abedi Pele.
Mm.
He was so unique. And though we didn't know that he understand that banning. Somebody, they played a Makotoko beat at you, or it was a draw in Tamale, and somebody became angry, then he spoke. Actually, Dagbani. And he responded that further. So, you know, at the time, I'm a board jibu.
What's that?
Literally means, don't you think I also want to score? That's like Abedi and Tamale. Even up to now, people still have very good memories of Abedi in Tamale.
Yeah.
And he has, those days, he had transformed at you to a formidable club. Even though when he left, there was another good players that also took up from him, like Shaiwi Grant, Dawuda, Damba. There were so many of them that took over from him when he left RTU. But the spirit of Abedi is still in Tamale.
Mm.
It's still in RTU.
And there's a statue on one of the runabouts
yes.
close to the Aliyu Muhammad Stadium. I believe we need to,
I have an issue with that statue.
I do too. And
you can't put such a stalwart in sports,
yeah.
something like that, and call this Abedi statue. Abedi is more, it's bigger
yeah.
than what
yeah.
they put yeah. in there.
It's a project we can all take up and ensure that he's honored even better with a better statue. There are many people within the industry who can do a far better job.
But if in the near future, if I get opportunity to advise the authorities in Tamale, they should do not only Abedi, because there are other good sportsmen or footballers that have gone through RTU and they are still alive.
Mm.
That those people need to be honored, they need to be celebrated.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
They used to be celebrated.
Big shouts to the legend, the maestro, you know, and he's just a remarkable figure. I sent a message to him, and I mentioned to his wife, Maha, that, you know, Abedi has given us, the people of my generation and before, a reason to send a great and unique football story to our children and to our grandchildren. You know, when people come and they're bragging about players and their ability, I'll shut them all up because I saw Abedi Pele. It's as simple as that, you know. It's as simple as that.
And not only he contributing, but his family.
Yeah.
Look at how he's managed to direct and control and groom his two kids.
Yeah.
The three kids.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
have paid their due to the national team.
Amazing.
How many players have done that before?
The longevity, the consistency.
The consistency. Ah. Since in the 80s,
yeah.
The Abedi family has been contributing to the development of football, and they are still contributing.
Amazing stuff.
So it's a family of football, and I think there's something that Ghana can do for this family. I'm not saying that the only family, but looking at the longevity, look at how far they've come.
Yeah.
From the 80s and up to this level, the Abedi family is still contributing to the development of Ghanaian football. I think we should help him to celebrate his 60th birthday.
Yeah,
and I say Abedi Pele.
Yeah, so it's a 60th year, not necessarily one specific day, but we are still in the celebratory mood. This man has done a wonderful and amazing job. Unfortunately, he just couldn't lift the Africa Cup of Nations with Ghana, but well, that's how fate has it. But this man is just an amazing character. And, you know, beyond the pitch as well, the platforms that he was on inspired all of us. I mean, back in the day, I mean, he would appear at the Ballon d'Or Awards, he would appear, you know, at big FIFA programs and all of that. It's just amazing.
Winning one of the prestigious European Cups.
Exactly.
With
exactly.
Olympic Marseille.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Marseille. And you know, the other one, before we go into our conversation, you know, the bit where Abedi Pele is a big figure in terms of global networking and lobbying for projects and all of that. And sometimes people say that our governments haven't made enough use of him because of the big relationships Abedi Pele has with presidents across the continent, across the world.
Yes, I also believe so, but I don't know what his personal view on getting into the political aspect of the sports. I know he was a very good friend of the former president of Burkina Faso, Blaise Compaoré.
The Saudi king.
And even some French governments were his friends. He has got extensive international networks. I don't know why he's not using it to support Ghanaian football.
No, we have to tap it. We have to tap it.
Sometimes it also depends upon what he thinks.
Well.
Yeah, if he's willing, the government should be able to use him to develop sports. Seriously. If I have the opportunity, getting him to come and do something for the college, I would.
Yeah.
When I came here, I spoke to Ota Kante. I have a meeting with him on Monday. No, next week Monday. I also spoke to the GFA Secretary General, Mr. Prosper.
Yeah.
Very nice gentleman. Very, very nice gentleman. I had a little issue that when I called him, come on.
Wow.
He sorted me out as quickly as he can, and that gave me hope that me coming here, I don't know much about football. I might be frank.
Yeah.
I don't know much about football, so I would really be knocking at the door of the GFA and all those technical people, professor, the technical director now, for their advice and for direction in terms of we have a small football club here. For that to help us revamp the football club, because when I met Omahini at Wudiba here, that was the first thing that he told me, that we should work on it very, very seriously. And that when the college team was doing well, the town was very vibrant. Big clubs used to come here to play matches, and everybody was enjoying it. And for a couple of years now, they were not seeing that thing again. So his special appeal was that we should make sure that vibrancy in the football in Winneba comes back. And it can only come back through the sports college club. So when he said that, I was touched. Even though I didn't have much knowledge, so I started talking to football people around the college, around the Winneba, and now I have to move to the bigger players like Otia Kante and Co. Professor Ogum, the quarterback coach, is my good friend. Didi Draman is a brother. So when I came, that was what was going through my mind. So when I fully settle, I will get them all involved to come and support us and develop the football aspect of the college.
It's been 40 years, and I'm immediately looking at infrastructure. And for those of you who are following us on YouTube, you can see that we're right before the tennis center. I mean, some years ago, I remember many years ago, when I paid my very first visit here, these courts looked aesthetically more appealing. Obviously, you know, not the best, you know, and I realized that you have a lot of land available as well for further development. Yes.
We have huge land. We have about 54 acre land.
54 acres?
54 acre land, yes. Sitting, the college is sitting on 54 acre land. And I'm not sure we've used more than 3 or 4 acres of it.
Yeah.
So the potential of expanding is very huge. The problem that we face now, but not, let me first and foremost acknowledge the contribution of the Honorable Minister of Youth and Sports, the Honorable Mustafa Yusuf,
yeah,
the Chief Director of National Sports, the Chief Director of Ministry of Youth and Sports, Mr. William Kate, the former Director General of the National Sports Authority, Mr. Dogi, the current Acting Director General, Mr. Seth Panwum, and of course my own brother, Mr. Majid, for having the confidence in me and bringing me here. At least expected that, frankly and honestly, I expected that I'll be here today. But through their trust and through their networking, they were able to bring me here. So I'm going to use your platform to say a big thank you to all these people for putting their trust and hopes in me. And what I promised them I'm going to do, I'm surely going to do that.
So let's look at, so we're on with infrastructure now.
Yes.
54 acres of land.
Yes.
Now let's have a fine picture of what is available in terms of facilities here at the moment and what the state is like. We see what the tennis court is like. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done here.
That's true. We have a lot of facilities here. We have a football pitch. We have 8 tennis courts. We have another hockey pitch in front of the college. And we have a lot of places that we can construct volleyball, basketball, and handball on our turf. And we have a whole lot of land that we can put up more infrastructure, more structures. And when I came yesterday, I had a meeting with the technical people that were thinking of establishing a proper gymnasium, a gym.
Yes.
And construction of swimming pool just behind the tennis court. This is what immediately this is what we want to do, apart from fixing the environment. There's a few cracks, there's a few plumbing issues that we are currently working on. Because I believe that if your environment is not appealing, nobody would like to come here. So we are first and foremost working seriously on the environment and the buildings. We have to do some painting, we need to add internet for the students, we need to have 24 hours lights, 24 hours water supply, we need to have chip or pavement around the surroundings, so that there's a lot of mosquitoes here. We need to do away with that as quickly as possible. That is what currently we are doing. If you go in front there, you see that we are constructing a pavement lane. Yes, and we have to work on the drainage in front of the college to the football pitch when it rains, because the drainage is choked. When it rains, the water floods onto the college. So that is what we are currently working on, to free the flow of the water in the drainage. Then we will now come to the tennis court, which I call low fruits, something that we can easily do without much financial injection.
So in terms of the history, yes, these 8 courts were facilitated by the ITF, right?
The ITF have agreements with the college at that time to construct, for them to construct this tennis court and construct a hostel accommodation for the international people, international players to come. But the condition was that they have to put up the hostel facility to certain level.
Certain standards.
Certain standard before the ITF would pay for it and owns it. But I don't know what were the actual agreements finish the construction, it looked as if it didn't get to the ITF standard or what the ITF was looking for, so they left it there. So one of the things that I will seriously working with the International Federation, the Tennis Federation in Ghana here, is to revisit that.
Exactly.
And see how, what we can do to add to the hostel facility that will meet the international standard. Even the court, I was briefed yesterday by the former director, Mr. Noah, that they had an agreement with the ITF to make this place a center for tennis for West Africa.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I remember.
Yes, I remember when I came to NSA first, they used to have programs here every
year. Exactly.
Every year.
Exactly, I remember.
It was vibrant. It was very, very vibrant. So this is what we need to revisit. Mm. This is what I'm working with the technical team here and the Tennis Federation in Ghana here for us to see how we can quickly fix the tennis court first, because there are a few cracks on it, and we need to work on it as quickly as possible. Then we come and enhance the standards of the hostel. Because if you are going to host international players or international programs, first and foremost, what you need to do is that, apart from the playing field, their accommodation and their feeding must also be at international level. Because if you bring people from maybe Spain, or people from South Africa, or people from Senegal, where they will sleep is as important as where they will play. So we need to fix all those things. Okay, in one of my policies that I presented to the ministry was that we have to do this place to be an international training center, not only for football or for tennis, but at least for 6 to 7 disciplines, that people can come here and train, people can come here to camp, people can come here for courses, people can come here for capacity building. You know, this college was established alongside with GYMPA. GYMPA was to train professional public and civil servants, and this college was to train professional sportsmen, sports administrators, and sports coaches. Yes. So we need to go back to that basics. For us to be able to do that, we need to enhance certain facilities here. But if you want it to be international, then the facility you have must also be an international standard. And this is what we are going to do in the near future, in 2 to 3 years, if I'm still be here. Because this place is not a bit stable. But
when you say it's not a bit stable, yes, what do we mean?
Now, sometimes people come and go. The appointment comes in.
Okay.
And it's not like you have been given, it's a political appointment.
Okay.
So whoever comes, any minister comes or government comes, whatever they want to put in, they can just appoint anybody to come in here. That's the political issue that maybe on another forum.
But it's important that, because, I mean, these two go hand in hand.
Yes.
What would be the ideal situation that you'd advise from where you sit as a technocrat within the industry?
The appointment should be a time limit.
Okay.
When they appoint you, they give you 4 years.
Mm.
Renewal for another 4 years, 2 4-year time. If you are not able to perform creditable to the wishes of those appointing you for the first 4 years, then they should renew your appointment. Because 4 years is enough for you to show that you are capable of transforming the place. If they think that you are capable of transforming the place, then they can add you another 4 years. At least 8 years is long enough for anybody to put his brains or to transform any place. So after 2 years, after 2 times of 4 years, they can let somebody, a fresh people come. But the person who is coming after the 8 years should be able to continue where the person had left off. Sometimes you see somebody come and take over an institution that was running very well, but he comes within the next few years, you see the institution is going backwards. That standard might be set. And so if you have a fixed timer of office, you know that they've given me 4 years, And I'm not going to do things looking behind my shoulder to see that, if I don't kowtow to this wrong thing, if I don't kowtow to that wrong thing, I'll be changed. So once you have the secure tenant office, you can do so many things without any fear or favor. Because sometimes people are afraid, just because if they do the right thing, some people may not be happy and they may find themselves out. I'm not afraid of those things. But what me I'm afraid of is not to do the right thing. So tomorrow somebody will come and say, when Bao was here, why did he do this? Why didn't he do that? I want one day, if I'm not here, somebody comes and says, Bawo did this, oh, he did well. Bawo did this, he did well. But I always told my staff that it is not me. It's a teamwork. Me alone, I'm not able to do anything. They alone, they will not be able to do it. But together, we'll be able to do something. And since I've come here almost 3 weeks to 1 month now, that I can tell you that I have more than 100% support from the staff.
I see.
Yes, I have more than 100% support from the staff. They are so willing, and they are ready to support. We have been working together. I mean, things are beginning to change. Things are beginning to take shape, and I cannot thank them more because they've received me well. Or any advice that I ask from them, they are willing to give me. And that are giving me hope that within the next 6 months or within the next 7 to 8 months, we should be able to do something. Look, Nat, the support that I get from the staff here is overwhelming. I don't even get that support even in athletics. I might be frank with you.
And talk about athletics. Yes. You're balancing both roles as lead of athletics.
Yeah,
and
let me make this one, because everybody seems to be asking that question. I am a staff for National Sports Authority. The National Sports Authority, under the Ministry of Youth and Sport, that pay my salaries.
Very well.
The athletics doesn't pay me.
Okay.
Athletics is just an association that I happen to be the president. But my actual duty, my actual employer is National Sports Authority.
Okay.
So the association is just an association. Yes. So me being the president, and I have a very good CEO who is now doing the day-to-day running of the athletics office. They just keep me informed, and I just supervise them. So once I became the president, my workload in athletics has reduced up to the barest minimum.
Okay.
I don't do letters. I don't trace anything. So this appointment comes in at the right time. I would not have taken this appointment if I were the CEO at that time. Because the CEO, the work was huge, and I couldn't combine the two. And I don't want to take up a position that I will not be effective. But once I was the president, I'm still the president, the CEO and the general staff in Accra, they do a lot. They do all the work for me. Mine is just to tell them, okay, this one is not good, this one is good. Do this this way, do that way. I just supervising them. So it has given me more time to concentrate. I spend the whole week here. I go to Accra sometime on Fridays.
Interesting.
In the afternoon.
If you're just joining us, we're having a conversation with the director of the National Sports College, also known as the CK Jamfi Sports College. We'll talk about that naming element as well, because it becomes very important in the scheme of things. Now, we're tackling various issues about, you know, his tenure, what's been happening so far, what exists in terms of physical structures and in terms of infrastructure, and what should be done. I mean, what the projections are realistically, especially as we look at scenarios where there probably could be a change of administration, political ideology in the coming year, and how all of it will fit into the vision that he has for this college. Well, let's get more into the infrastructure base. So now, these tennis courts are here. You've got some volleyball facilities. You'd want to construct some, a major indoor facility and make this place a center of excellence. Now, we've spoken about the core mandate, which, of course, is drawn from, the National Sports Act. This college operates under the National Sports Authority. That's correct.
No, it operates under the Ministry of Youth and Sports.
The Ministry of Youth and Sports. Further, through the...
No, we have a collaboration with the... It's actually autonomous from the National Sports Authority.
Okay.
But we have an MOU to link our... to collaborate together. Sometimes they have certain facilities we don't have. So if you want to run courses, sometimes we can go to Accra Sports Stadium, where we can use some of their regional offices to run our courses. But they are a distinctively different institution under the Ministry of Youth and Sports.
What is available here? Let's begin with, technical training for the technocrats, the coaches, the, people who want to get into specific, areas in sport. Exactly. What is available here as we speak?
Currently, apart from the football club, we have a tennis academy here.
Okay.
Concurrently running here. But we need, as a matter of agency or as a matter of fact, to increase that, because when we are going to maintain only two disciplines, having the academy or having their training here, that doesn't serve the purpose of the college. So we are expanding. In the 2 weeks' time, we'll have athletics course here. We have other federation coming to run the courses here.
So this you're explaining has to do with athletes and,
yes,
and sportsmen and women,
sportsmen
and not the trainers of trainers.
Yeah, no. The courses, the academy is for the sportsmen.
Okay.
And the training is for trainers of trainers.
Okay.
Or for coaches, because those things were not being run so vibrantly here. We need to start from the basis.
Very well.
And let me just add this one too. The college have also applied to the National Accreditation Board to give the college accreditation to be able to run professional sports courses here, so that certified certificates will be given to prospective coaches and sports administrators, not for only Ghana but also internationally. So that one is also in process. Maybe after this elections, we'll push it and see how we can, as quickly we can get it. And so ministry is also working assiduously on that issue. When we get it, then we're now going to establish a full sports college with accreditation, with authority to issue certificate. But we will start with certificate courses, then we'll graduate to diploma, then we'll graduate to degree and to master's in the near future. That one too is also ongoing. But within our body politic, our body sports environment, what we are doing currently is to start doing professional sports related technical courses, like coaching course or official courses. They started doing sports management a couple of years ago, and they still continue. But we want to add directly courses from the federations, because now federation organize a lot of programs, and this place is so affordable in terms of accommodation, in terms of feeding, in terms of even using the auditorium. We have 60 beds, a 60 room hostel facility here. And we have 24 rooms guest house here. We can organize any.
So we have a total capacity of 84.
84, yes.
I see.
84.
I see.
And to be brutally frank, I cannot see why if you have such a facility and the facility cannot run on its own. There are certain hotels in Accra that are not even up to 24 rooms, but they are making dividends, they are making profits. Why do we have 24 guest rooms here and 60 hostel rooms here, and yet we can still make, the college cannot stand on its own. The college cannot fund certain projects on its own. I'm not blaming anybody, but that is what I'm intentionally going to work on.
So you are clearly looking at the element of internally generated funds, IGF.
To start work. Because if you're going to rely heavily on the government of Ghana to do things that we're going to do here, I'm telling you the change will not happen the way we want it to. So once we have the facility, why don't we use the facility to improve upon the facility? Because I normally ask myself, so what could have done differently to change what we see around? What could have done differently? So I try to think the opposite side of what normal people think. So how do we get the money? If we don't get the money from the ministry, what do? We cannot also sit and fold our arms and say, ministry is not giving us money, so we're not going to fix this, we're not going to fix that, we're not going to fix that. Then why are we leaders? We are leaders to solve problems. We are leaders to fix wrong things. We are leaders to fix things are not properly done. And if we cannot turn this place around to generate more revenue for us, then we are not fit to be here. The potential of developing the sports college is so huge, very, very huge, and it needs some decisive actions to be taken. When I came, the first thing I realized that I spoke to the staff, and we all agreed that we should suspend certain allowances to be able to get money to enhance the facility. And everybody agreed to that.
So these are allowances to the staff?
Yes, they are allowances to the staff.
And they are ready to
They are ready to sacrifice.
I see.
To develop the college. That is how sacrificial they are ready to do. If you go to a place, then the staff are willing to sacrifice their own allowances to develop the place. So when I told you that I had more than 100% support from the staff.
I see.
They are willing. That's why giving me so much hope that together with all the staff, we should be able to turn this place around within the next 6 months. And we started doing it. You said that we are doing some small construction there.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm absolutely confident in the staff here. Because I cannot, it will be difficult for you to go to different institutions and tell them, okay, let's sacrifice this allowance for the development of this place. Not when I brought the idea, all of them agreed to it. And that has given it, you see them, that has given it the hope that want to go on. And I promised them that whatever I'm going to do to turn this place around, we will do it together. I can do
Joy,
it.
Joy, 99.7 FM.
We should be able to do that. And there are certain low-hanging fruit that I think we can do even without too much money or that much money invested in it, like fixing the tennis court, even though we need, but you know, with too much of a financial injunction, like fixing the drainage so that water does not stay here, like working to at least prevent or reduce the mosquito levels here. Those particular things, and we started working on it. And it's changing. Everybody's happy. Not, but I believe that with proper leadership, with proper investment and anything, the college should be able to stand on its feet with 60-room hostel, 24 guest rooms, tennis court, football pitch, hockey pitch. Then we cannot make things turn around. No. I believed myself and I believe the staff will be able to do something about that. And that is the first thing I want to do, because if you're going to run courses, people come to see your environment, your accommodation, your play that they are going to play and to sleep, it's not the best. When they come once, they won't come again. And we want people to come here, not only Ghanaians, but foreigners, to also come and study and play. So first of all, what we need to do, we need to fix the accommodation issues. We need to fix the environment. We need to fix the tennis court. The tennis court, we can get revenue from the tennis court. If we fix it and fix it well, then we tell them if you are going to play a tennis, maybe come 1 hour, it will take you 20 or 10 cities for playing for 1 hour. And we open it to general public. We can raise the revenue. But if you don't fix it, how can you charge people for playing on the tennis court? If we're able to establish a gymnasium here or a gym here with all the facilities in the gym, we do aerobics, we do fitness tests, we do those things. These are all generated avenues. If we're able to construct a swimming court behind the tennis court and the students are here, the Winnebago communities are here, if they come to swim, they pay daily. Sometimes someone will subscribe for a month. If they are in a group, we can give them group charges. Why can't we make money from here? But the first thing we have to do is to fix the little things are here, the sewage, the environment, so that there don't be mosquitoes. We'll fix the washrooms, fix the beds, the hostel, the guest house. Make it international standard. So that whoever comes in here, that you come here, maybe one day you have a program here. So, oh, Baba, I'm going to do a program here. Can I get 2 rooms for my international friends? I should be able to accommodate you.
Sure.
Yes. If we fix it, increase the value of the hostel and the guest house, it will increase the price. So what we are doing currently now is that we are going to fix internet there for the students. We are going to refurbish the place, even though it's quite expensive. But if I were to refurbish it, give them internet, give them bathrooms inside their rooms, create washroom inside the rooms, that will increase the volume. And that will increase the cost or the price that they are going to pay. Students have internet. I mean, students will flock in here. And we have internet here. We have DSTV here in the guest house. When you come, these are the facilities that we are offering you. If you see the facility, if you go and see the room, the price that we are going to quote for you, you will not doubt it, because you are going to have the value of the
value
cost,
for money.
Yeah, the value for money inside it. Mm. So that is what we want to do now. But I can tell you that the staff here are amazing. Wow. I'm not going to tell the other stories, but the staff here are amazing. So far, I've gotten their support, and they are willing to sacrifice certain allowances for the college.
Well, the issue of identity, I mean, years ago, this college was named C.K. Jamfi Sports College. You drive in here, and at the main, you know, administration, you see National Sports College still written here. You look at other examples, like the Accra Stadium, which has always been a bone of contention. At a certain point, it became... it became Ohenijan Stadium, and then it came back to Accra Stadium and all of that. I mean, at the end of the day, some may talk about levels of importance and how that is not important, but where you sit, where I sit, and you're looking at things from the brand perspective and identity perspective, it becomes important because C.K. Jamfi is a major block within our sporting history in terms of contributions, in terms of achievement, in terms of ideology, and in terms of generally giving us presence nationally and also writing history in a different way. So what will be the stance? What did you meet? What is the situation? And what will be it going forward in terms of the identity, the top of mind awareness name that will be associated with this place?
When you look at the act that established this one, the act specifically mentioned National Sports College.
Sure.
Yes. So let's go with that. But me, I'm a sports administrator who believe in appreciating and honoring our sportsmen who were the torchbearers. Because if you mention C.K. Jamfi, the sports Ghana really took off from his hands. So many things. Even the football structure we have here, understand him with that football structure we have here, and the number of coaches that he took to Germany for training. At that time, understand there was a policy that says that they want to develop sports on the wings of football. It's a true initiative. Even the Intercol and so many things came out of his initiative. So if there's any way at all we can't celebrate him and honor him, we should be able to do that. That I'll just leave it there because some of those issues excuse me to use my word, political and tribal, they had political and tribal sentiment. Mm. I was there when the Accra Sports Stadium issue came up. There were that kind of not too well things that were said about somebody name was used there. I mean, it wasn't a good conversation.
It wasn't a pleasant sight.
At all. But if I had opportunity or I have the authority, I will always honor people like C.K. Jamfi. I will always that because I did my master's in PE when I was doing my thesis in intercolleges, intercore. His name always appearing from Accra to Achimota to Prosek. They are those pioneers of the intercore. His name was continually appearing. You cannot write extensive Ghanaian sports without mentioning C.K. Jamfi. You cannot do that. If you do it, then your document will be incomplete. So if there's any way that we can honor him, please, we should be able to do that.
Great stuff. So that will be dealt with in the future. And I'm hoping that if you get the opportunity here, in terms of longevity, you can spearhead that.
Yes,
so
I can spearhead it.
We get that done.
Get that because, he has done a lot for Ghanaian sports. When I was reading about him, I was surprised at things he has done and what people have taken. All those that were doing so well, all the coaches, administrators, most of them came from his policies. And he had a support from the government at that time. That's why in another conversation, that's what we need to talk about the interests of every sitting government in terms of sports.
In fact, it's something I'm coming to, but I'd like to remind all of you that we're here on this special edition, having a conversation with Mr. Baf Hussaini. You've long associated his name with his exploits in athletics, leading the charge at Ghana Athletics, but now he's been giving a very huge task, a responsibility of taking over from what others have done here at the helm, and he is on a mission to turn around the fortunes of the National Sports College here in Winneba to ensure that this becomes a place where, you know, we can have a lot in terms of training, a lot of revenue generation, and a lot in terms of solidifying sport as an alternative when it comes to endeavor for the younger population of this country. Now, politics and how it eats into our various sectors of development. Sport can never be taken away. In fact, sport is one of the biggest breeding grounds for politics and partisanship and all of that. It has a big effect. I know for those of you who are technocrats, you always want to steer clear, but you can't run away from the fact that it always has its roots in there. I mean, some decisions are taken and you realize that clearly there is an arm of politics here, that those who would not want to continue a project because it was started by another government and all of that. We still live in that era.
That is something Ghana, we have to know how to maneuver our way through it. Let me send you back to the day that Ghana used to win the African Cup of Nations, and the last one, and you are very close with boxing. You know how the ex-president, Ole President Jerry Rawlings, has personal interest in boxing. I think he was a very good friend of Azuma Nelson when he was fighting.
And a lot of that story came from here.
Came from here.
Yeah.
Yes. And you could also see how ex-president Kufuor personally got involved into football to get football qualified to the World Cup.
Sure.
And it did happen. You see how Nkrumah was so much interested in football and got the African Cup of Nations here, and it trickled down to the sport development. If we do not get that kind of commitment from any sitting president, we are going to have problems. Because the power and the money come from the political society. You cannot run sports without the political backing. That one, I can be frank with that. And what the International Federation front upon is partisan politics running the affairs of the Federation. But they always advise us that don't let the politician run the Federation, but have a very good relationship with the politicians. Whoever is in power, you don't have to go and play political politics. But whoever is in power, you have to demonstrate that you are a seasoned sports administrator, then you are ready to work with anybody who is in political authority. Whatever good advice that you are going to give to the political leadership, you must give it to without looking at the colors of the political party. Because you are serving the state of Ghana through the political heads. If you are going to say that this politics, or I don't belong to this color party, so I'm not going to work for the color party, then that color party too will not also give you the opportunity to work. Politicians have so much power that they can disrupt whoever they want to disrupt. They can decide not to work with you, what they want to do with them. If they don't give you funding, you can't work. Ghana, our sports hasn't developed to the state that you can see a corporate institution or a corporate body can just come and sponsor a whole program, a whole federation for a year or two. Our corporate institutions are interested in organizing or sponsoring an event. You find the event, that's the next time you need to go and look for another sponsor again to come. But if you are able to stay out of partisan politics and you are ready to give your 110% to whoever is in power, they should be able to support you. Because you can't run federation with a political backing. Just like how we won the African Championship in 2026. Without political backing, we can organize the program. So if you go and say, I belong to this Green Party, or I belong to that Green Party, and I will not work with this party, and I will work with that party, that will not help. That will not help at all. But what I'm suggesting or I'm pleading to whoever becomes the next government, that the personal involvement of any sitting president is very crucial in terms of sport development. Ghana, we have so many disciplines, we can't develop all. But certain disciplines must be supported from the central government. We have about 7 or 8 traditional disciplines that Ghana is known of. And if those disciplines are being supported heavily for them to grow and stand on its feet so that others will flow, we have more than 48 federations in Ghana. It is not possible Ghana Ghana government can sponsor all. And the only way we can do is to rank all rank the federations. Federation A, Federation B, and Federation C. The Federation A are those federations that were able to go for World Cup and perform well or qualify to Olympic Games. The Federation B should be those who can win medals at the African level. And the C should be made to be a domestic federation, depending on how they will grow. And we have to sort out the sports funding. It's very important. If you don't sort out the sports funding, if we don't have any sitting government, any sitting president interested in one particular sport, we always run and come back and talk about funding and talk about medals and talk about performances. That's why I gave the example of ex-President Rawlings and Azuma. Ex-President Rawlings and the last time Blatter won a cup in Libya 1982 and Kwame Nkrumah's involvement in Ghana's football at initial stages. And ex-President Kufuor personal involvement in Ghana going to the World Cup. We need that deliberate and conscious political decision to say Federation A, B, C, we want you to win a medal at this level, and this is what we are putting in. If you don't win a medal at that level, we are going to push you back to the table. And I can think of only two or three federations that can meet that now, that have a potential of going to international, win internationally. I can think of boxing and athletics, and maybe one or two federations that have got realistically.
Yeah.
I'm being brutal honest here, realistically, that have got the international standard that can win medals at an international level. If two or three federations or four federations should be given that status, Federation A, they rank number A, which they can, you can go and Google the ranking of the federation, ranking of their sportsmen, if they are players, if they are athletes, if they are boxers. You can go to the International Federation website to see how they are ranked. Nobody can tell us about the rankings.
Sure.
They are public. They are online. You can go and check the athletes' rankings. I cannot come and tell you, oh, this our athletes rank number 10. And when you go to Africa athletic website or you go to World Athletic website, then you go and see that athletes rank number 15. You can't hide that. They can't hide those things. So the ministry can do it in do independence checking on the ranking of federation where they can place them in terms of the ranking. If you're able to do that, we'll solve half of the problem, and we're able to get the funding issue resolved. We get a sport dedicated sports fund. Everybody go to justify why that fund should be used to support that federation. I mean, we should be able to go far. This all will come down to the sports college being able to train people to be able to come out and say this federation should be Federation A, this federation should be Federation B, this federation should be Federation C, and these are my reasons of projecting that some federation should be A, some federation should be B, some federation should be C. If I were to fix that here and we build the capacity of our technocrats in terms of sports, you know, the argument can be forcibly be made to the government, and government will listen, because if we advance the argument with good reasons, with data, I don't think anybody will see a good data that will not like it. Yeah, they will like it. So by the first and foremost, we need to fix the sports college so that it will be the springboard for both practitioners and coaches and officials and officials to come here, learn, improve their capacity, and go out to support the government in its sports policy. Both parties have got excellent sports policies. Well, we're just waiting for the implementation.
Implementation indeed, and that is one key thing that we've been drumming home over the years, that we need to implement all the things that we put on paper in terms of projections to develop sport. We're still having this conversation here with Mr. Baf Hussaini, who is the director of the National Sports College here in Winneba, situated within the campus of the University of Education. For those of you who may not know, it's been revealed to us today that the National Sports College has a total land mass of 54 acres, and not even close to a tenth has been used properly and used. So there is a lot in terms of potential for all of this to be done. We've been talking about the state of this place in terms of infrastructure, talking about what is there on offer for anybody who wants to come through this college. And of course, we've been looking at the future as well. More to come here in the conversation as we look at how we can get the National Sports College to stand here on its feet.
Mr. Hosseini, you took up this role knowing very well that sports is not properly funded. You've talked about the element of using new strategies to generate funds.
Yes.
Now, tell me about the immediate community here
in Winneba. The immediate community, I'm talking about the university community, the population here, and what this place could mean in terms of enjoying that symbiotic relationship with the community, the external one and the immediate internal one.
The immediate internal one, I have a very good relationship with some of the lecturers, the doctors and the professors here at the Harper's department, and Dr. Sapon and Professor Sapon and co. And I've sent a letter to the Vice Chancellor to meet him, but I've read a lot of relationship between the college and the university, mostly in terms of the land and the land title and those things. I don't think there are very serious issue that we shouldn't be able to resolve. But in terms of the relationship between the college and the university, it's still good because some of the lecturers use our facility here. Whenever they were doing Gusa games, they use our tept for the Gusa athletics and Gusa football, and they use our hockey pitch. And sometimes they even do funerals on our hockey pitch. So the relationship between the college and the university is very good, and I would like to work with that to improve upon that as well. And for the community, their interest is what we are going to give back to the community. The Omahini was so particular about how we were going to support them to organize more sporting activity for Abuachiri Festival. Yes, he specifically mentioned that there was, last 2 years there was cycling, and this year he didn't see the cycling. That there was athletics, he didn't see athletics. And there's, of course, the club at the college here. So what I promised him that after cycling, I've talked to the Cycling Federation. They are my good brothers, Shaban and Shanun.
Yeah.
I was their secretary general sometimes. So that's the home match. I also talked to my good brother, Charles Osaisibe, to see whether we can come and do arm wrestling.
Yeah, arm wrestling is such a fast-moving sport.
That we can bring arm wrestling here during
the Abuachiri. And before we forget, another major milestone. Now, Charles Osaisibe, who is the pioneering president of the Ghana Arm Wrestling Federation.
The founder.
Also, yeah, the founder. You know, he celebrated his 50th milestone this week. And we'd like to say a happy 50th birthday to him.
Officially, Charles Osaisibe has joined the soon-to-be senior citizens. Going very. But we also need to celebrate his effort making arm wrestling transform from being just a regular
major sport, even international. The last time this year they went to World Arm Wrestling Championship in Asia. They did quite well. They did very, very well.
Mm.
And he's somebody who have got an artistic eyes. He know branding, and he know talking, and he know lobbying. This is what a sports administrator needs.
Mm.
And Charles has all.
Mm.
So I was not surprised that he won the African Championship. I was surprised that he was given the vice president for the World Rugby. World Arm Wrestling.
Mm.
So we should celebrate his 50th birthday with him.
Very well. So that means that we have quite a number of birthdays to celebrate. On our own.
We have a baby birthday, we have Charles Society birthday.
Yeah.
So next year, Abuachiri, we like to
incorporate
all those things, including triathlon.
Wow.
We'll do triathlon. I'll talk to Charles, I'll talk to Shaban, and we'll do a marathon to at least four disciplines. We should be able to do four disciplines. The college will be able to support their movement in terms of sponsorship from Accra to Winneba. So we're able to do a very good program for the Omahini of the Futu traditional area.
Amazing. We would continue the conversation here, and I'd like to also have a conversation with the PRO of the college. So she also brings her perspective to the conversation. But we'll be picking up some more on this festival,
the Abuachiri Festival, the very famous Abuachiri Festival where, the ASAFO members get into the bush, the forest, and they go, and it's something that is always very significant, and this is one which has imagery in our minds for those of us who are of the 80s and 90s generation. This is something that is major, and now the Omanhin of the Simpa Traditional Area wants to see this done. And the big question we're even asking ourselves is, how are we able to replicate this model across the many festivals that are celebrated in many traditional areas across the country? That's the reason why you have to stay with us here on this special edition as we have a conversation with the director of the National Sports College in Winneba, Mr. Bawaf Husseini, and of course some of his staff, especially the PRO, to also get into her mind and see how the operations here weave into what she's doing and what everybody else is doing in terms of putting a lot of communication out there about what this college wants to achieve and the bigger picture of where this place wants to be seen in the next couple of years within Ghana's development mix. My name is Nathaniel Atto. I'm ably supported by the Joy Sports team today. We're coming to you live from the University of Education within the enclave, but specifically from the National Sports College. There's more to come. I'll be having a conversation very briefly with the PRO, and then more with Mr. Bauer. That's the reason why you have to stay with us here on the show. A few messages as well we'll be sharing, and some questions that have also come we'll be sharing with Mr. Bauer for saving. So we're still here on the Joy Sports Link on Joy 99.7 FM. We're still streaming live on YouTube and also on Joy Prime for First Take. Now, we're having a very important conversation within the premises of the National Sports College in Winneba, within the University of Education, Winneba. Now, the National Sports Authority, the National Sports College, beg your pardon, greets you when you drive straight into the University of Education, Winneba. It's an autonomous body, runs on its own and runs directly under the Ministry for Youth and Sports. We're having a major conversation with the man who now has been tasked with the responsibility of transforming this place. But we also want to look at the public relations function. Now, Florence Adams is in charge of the public relations function. And for a facility like this, which requires a lot of work, it means that she also has a very big load of work to do, you know, on her shoulder. Florence, good to see you.
Same here, Nat.
How's work been? How long have you been here at this college?
I've been here for 9 years.
9 years, wow, that's amazing. Congratulations. That's,
thank you.
Yeah. So at least you've seen various faces of leadership, you've seen a lot of things happen here.
Yeah.
For you, who likes to, or whose job description is to project what is being done here for the external publics? And also to manage, you know, the communication function within the organization.
Yeah.
What key things would you want to see happen, let's say, over the next 5 years, for someone who's been here for close to a decade?
Okay. So as mandated of us by the ministry and the government, we are to train and retrain.
Yeah.
We are to keep the facilities going. We are to have lots of campaign facilities and all of it. So, yes, if we keep the place busy, it makes me busy as well.
Mm.
So, basically, that's what I want to see happening here.
Is that to say you are bored?
I am not.
Okay.
I get to do, but we need to revamp whatever we have doing here.
Do you picture an ideal situation sometimes for what this place should look like? I mean, your boss, the director, has spoken at length about what he wants to see here. What do you also want to see here, especially because of the generations you have seen here, from all the young sportsmen and women who've passed through this college through to leadership and everything? What do you want to see here? Specifics.
Okay. We keep saying it's a cliche here that you want to make this place a center of excellence in sports. And by that, I picture a college with great facilities, a college with infrastructure, with the sports, a lot of sports facilities. I picture a place where people come international. We have international athletes coming to come before their tournaments and all. Yeah.
Let's look at this rhetoric, this continuous story about maintenance culture. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have always sung that chorus, and for some reason, it has become an identical twin to anything infrastructure in any sector in this country.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about that conversation, especially when it has to be associated with sporting facilities which are within organizations that do not get the funding and do not get the regular and expected resource to help to perform that function?
I think we need to generate funds internally because most of the time the funds from GOG isn't adequate to cater for administrative expenses and then move on to the facility. So like my boss rightly said, we will put up a lot of facilities to generate enough money for us to keep the place going.
Mm. Now, I was asking Mr. Bawa Fuseni, the director, about this society, this immediate community, and what can be drawn from here. There is a big student population here, you know, in the university, and you have young sportsmen and women here. You have a tennis academy, and you have a soccer academy.
Yeah.
What is the criteria for getting these young people here? Because we have lots and lots of situations where, as journalists, we have friends, we have associates, and even strangers call us and say, look, I have a son or a daughter who has talents here. Where's the best place to get them trained? How does one get into, you know, the National Sports College if they want to go into tennis or football? And what is the curriculum like?
Okay. For the tennis, it is non-residential. Mm. So usually we have just the inhabitants of Funiba applying to be a part. But for soccer, once a while, we sell phones, ask interested talent to apply. Then we hold a selection exercise, then select the best out of them, and then admit them here.
Mm. What would you make of what you've seen? I mean, Like we were discussing earlier with Mr. Fuseni, loads of interesting stories have come from here. I mean, the names of sportsmen and women who have gone through this college is just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I draw back to, you know, the stories from the legendary Azuma Zoom Zoom Nelson, that famous story of Gobe, what we refer to informally as Gobe,
yeah.
And how President Rawlings, you know, at the time he was head of state, he had to go to somebody who was selling beans and plantain, and had to go and buy it on credit. The regular story which was flowing around was that, you know, he went and he owed some...
He owed everyone.
Yeah, some food vendor from so many years and never paid. But apparently, this was the story. And Azuma revealed that story when President Rawlings died. Lai Kingston, you know, who's had an amazing football career, has told me his story from here. Many other players from that generation, Gordon Trump, who captained us to the under-17 World Cup and all. You know, and so you're looking at this generation of sportsmen and women. What do you see in them in terms of their hunger and in terms of inspiration as well? What is inspiring them?
The college has become like a home to these talents.
I see.
Yeah. So every now and then we have them coming around. There was a time we had a GFA course here, like Kinson was here, and they were all excited to have come home. So every now and then we see them as an inspiration to the upcoming generation. There have been times where we've organized homecoming exercises for them to interact with the current students, for them to draw that inspiration from. Mm. So yes, going forward, we need to be having more of such so they can come around, interact with them, then inspire them for higher heights.
Do we have, I mean, at the top, in terms of administration, I do know that the college and the University of Education have this correspondence going on about how they can collaborate in the future. Do we have situations where some continuing students here, you know, at the University of Education, come in and want to enroll in some of the courses? And if that's not the situation, is there a plan to want to appeal to them and attract them as well in here?
There is a plan. Usually when we have courses of such nature, sports administration, sports governance, fitness programs, we give the students a discount.
I see.
So they don't pay the regular fee we charge outsiders.
I see.
So there is that relationship with the university. So every now and then when we have programs, we have a lot of the students coming in because we give them a rebate.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you see interest? Mm. Do you see interest growing amongst them? You know, obviously, if the facilities were top-notch at this time, I'm sure it would have generated more excitement. But how would you gauge the levels of interest amongst the student populations to want to be a part of what is being done here?
They are very much interested, regardless of the state of our facility now. With the HYPERS department, a lot of the time, we have them applying to have their internship, their national service, yes. But unfortunately, we cannot take a large number. So once in a while, we consider a few to come around and help. And they also use tennis for their practical sessions and also they have an interest in the college.
Mm. Now, we were also looking at the situation where this place becomes a place where the public is making massive use of.
Okay.
Now, when you look at the immediate environment that you appeal to, I mean, there's already interest here, as we've been told, to make use of the festivals and the space around them and all of that. Joy. Are there specific disciplines that you believe can become big here if explored, based on what we see within the community?
Yeah.
I mean, off the top of my mind, I don't know about you, but off the top of my mind, I'm looking at the aqua-based sports, swimming and all of that, because of the proximity to the sea and how children in those communities are more, you know, aligned towards sporting disciplines like that, because they surf, they can close their eyes and surf, they can close their eyes and jump into an upcoming wave.
That's right.
An onrushing wave.
Yeah, so like you rightly said, We can make use of the sea. We can capitalize on it and develop sports sea-related. We can also look at other sports. Badminton is not doing bad in Winneba. We can also, like my boss said, the construction of a swimming pool will also help us greatly. And then we can venture greatly into athletics as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
In terms of projections, if everything that is planned is seen to and is executed, how much time do you believe the National Sports College can use to do a quick turnaround and make this place a place of international standard, as has been articulated by your boss, the director?
In the space of a year or 6 months, we should be able to do something.
A year or 6 months, that's very short timing.
Because we have started, and we have, yes. For the few weeks he's been here, there's been a lot of changes with the physical appearance of the place and the programs he is introducing and all. So if we are able to tell our story, if we are able to project the college as we showed, in the space of 6 months or within a year, we should be able to have a turnaround.
Finally, the bit about the staff unanimously agreeing to forego some allowances to contribute to the process here. You are the PR person.
Yeah.
Tell me about I'm a little surprised, because obviously, I mean, the economy is still very tough, and
it
so anytime anything that is taken off what you earn, sure is going to have an effect.
Yeah.
But what do you believe was one of the key factors that got everybody to immediately latch onto the idea?
As staff, we all want to see the place progress.
Mm.
We believe that should the college get to where we all aspire it to be, we'll all enjoy, sort of. So yes, when director came and mentioned, put his plan out, asked staff to get on board, we all agreed. We all felt, yes, it's about time. It's about time we moved out of our comfort zone. It's about time we put in extra work. So yes, sacrificing our allowances is just something small.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, the last time we heard about sacrificing allowances, it had to do with the Black Stars coach. He mm-hmm. had to scale down so, you know, we could all, and that had to do with COVID. Mm-hmm. We're still here on this special edition. Florence, thank you so much, and all the best to you guys.
Thank you, Nate.
We will sure be visiting, you know, in the next 6 months,
you
the next year.
You should come around.
And we hope to see, you know, massive changes here, mm-hmm. so it could all feed into the bigger picture. Mr. Bahar Hosseini is in the hot seat today, answering questions about how he intends to transform the National Sports College. We're also on YouTube. We're also on Joy 99.7 FM, on the Joy Sports link. And of course, to all of our friends who are joining us on Prime Take, we say welcome and thank you so much for making us key when it comes to critical issues that affect our sports development in the country. Now, let's talk about expansion, especially for expanding to accommodate more numbers, you know. What are the numbers looking like in terms of what you can take at a go for a course? I'm looking at this within the bigger mix of what the existing facilities can take and what your curriculum. Yes. Yeah,
we have an auditorium, very good auditorium,
okay.
that can take 100 people at a go.
Okay.
Now, accommodation facility, we have 60 bedrooms, which can take 4 to 3 persons in a room.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a lot. And the guest room too, we can take 2 in the guest room, there are 24. So at a go, we can take 48 senior officials.
Okay.
And the athletes, we can take more than 200-300 athletes, sportsmen at a go.
I see.
But in the auditorium, we have 100 capacity.
I see.
So if you have more sportsmen coming here to do a course or to train, after training it's much easier because they just stay in their hostels and go and train and come back. We can take more than 300 for a course for officiating official and coaches. We can take at a go 100 coaches per course, and that accommodation is even more. At the accommodation facility exceeds the number of coaching that we can have at a go. So if you have more than 100, then we need to go to the Winneba Sports School to search for additional auditorium for the lectures. But in terms of sportsmen and women there, we have just enough. But I don't see us having more than 500 people at a go for national program. We can have 200, 300 for a national program. And the coaches or officials, we can accommodate 48 at a go. That's a minimum we can take. And that's a minimum of 48 at a go. If we are pressed to increase the numbers by 3 in the room. Normally, we normally take the coaches and officials 2 in the room. But if you are so pressed that we need to take them 3 in the room, we can have up to 60 to 65 coaches at a go. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Now, what is the plan when it comes to additional courses? And I mean, in the immediate to long term,
yes.
Which ones, I'm sure you'd want to do it on a gradual basis.
Mm-hmm.
Which courses do you believe will be needed to be added to the curriculum immediately? And are there any courses as well that are in high demand here? And what would be the reasons?
Yeah, first of all, we need to develop the coaches and technical people first and foremost.
Okay.
Because they will go out and train the athletes. Mm. So if you don't have very good capacity, the human capacity of the coaches or officials are not too high, they cannot also produce very high level of athletes. So immediately what we are doing is that we are organizing more officiating and coaching courses. Currently, we have advertised one coaching course for athletics that will come out on 23rd of this month. And we intend doing 2 more courses before the end of the year so that we're able to build the capacity of our coaches. At the same time, build capacity of our technical officials, that is officiating officials, old coaches who are already in the system for a refresher course, for them to just refresh their memories of what they've learned and also ask them what we need to do to improve upon them. And this is only for athletes. I'm talking to Tennis Federation. They were supposed to come here yesterday for a meeting to see how we can revamp the tennis club here and improve upon it, how we can work out to fix the tennis course here so that tennis even though they have an academy here, how do we improve upon the academy? That was what we were supposed to discuss yesterday, but unfortunately they couldn't come. Maybe they'll come next time. And we are also looking at having triathlon here, also looking at having arm wrestling here, also looking at having... I just want to pull out some of my good friends the Federation has. The accommodation here is cheaper. Auditorium is fantastic. Feeding here is also cheaper. For me, where I sit, if I want to do any course anywhere, not because I'm a director here, because I don't know about these facilities, I will bring the course here. It will save time, it will save money. It is very conducive to do courses. And football, tennis, basketball, handball, volleyball, we have courses around here. Yes, it's easier for them to do that. So in terms of capacity, we have a huge capacity that we can even do multiple courses at a time, because we can accommodate at least up to 300, 400 athletes at a go.
Let's talk about curriculum and what makes the curriculum.
Yes.
And how rich it is and how deep it is. Now, you go to football, for instance, and there is a running conversation amongst our friends in the football fraternity. Those who do the CAF related courses, the C, the B, I mean the D, C, B, and A. Now, within global football terms, the conversation is that a CAF license A is supposed to be equivalent to a UEFA license A. Now, those who have had the opportunity of experiencing both ends will tell you that they do not see enough depth in the CAF training module as against the UEFA training module. There are big arguments around that because obviously you're operating within different environments and all of that. But what informs the curriculum that you put out to train all of these people who come here? What inputs are made into it? And how much in terms of international trends and standards, I'm talking about modern international trends and standards, are factored into these courses so that when these people graduate from here, they become not only domestically acceptable, but internationally relevant and adaptive.
Before I assume office, there was a program already running here, Sports Promotion, Sports Management, that was being run by Dr. Austin, the University of Ghana Sport Director, and Professor Apak at UCC, and some other doctors. The course was so rich that somebody from Gambia, people from Gambia came to participate in that course in Ghana. When they went back to Gambia, they were the topmost sports administrators in Gambia.
I see.
So Gambia, they are asking us to move our program from here to Gambia so that a lot more of his colleagues will be able to attend that program in Gambia.
I see.
So we are still working on to see how we can send Dr. Austin and Professor Park to Gambia to do that course there. Apart from that, too, the athletic program, we have certified lectures by well athletes.
Okay.
If you are not certified, you can't lecture in athletics, anything in athletics. So we have certified lecturers, Christopher Mankra, Samuel Musa, Baba Abidogo. So we're going to use them for the coaching. But we also add some of our domestic intelligentsia, sports intelligentsia, into that program. Like we're adding management, which is not part of the well athletics, but we want to expand it. We're adding sports management, we're adding sports medicine, we're adding sports injuries. These are going to be taken by seasoned doctors in this country. So the curriculum is so in-depth that whoever comes to do the program, they always want more. So now we have to go internationally. Just like the first one, when the sports management went internationally, the other courses too want to do it internationally. But we are moving gradually, a step at a time. But in terms of the curriculum, we are combining the well athletics curriculum with our domestic curriculum. So that when you come to the course at the sports college, you are not only learning the international ones, but also learning the domestic ones. For instance, you not go to athletics course and they will teach you the use nutrition or sports medicine or sports injuries. They teach you sports coach philosophy, how to do a coaching program. But we want to add those things to our courses so that the people who are coming to learn from the courses are not going to only become only coaching, but they should be able to manage athletes who are injured. they should be able to manage athletes to stay away from certain drugs. Because if the coaches, themselves or the officials themselves are not well informed, they cannot impact anything on the athletes. It is only when the coaches are well informed that they are able to impact the positive knowledge they have acquired from the course, to the athletes. That's why we have clean and better athletes, but athletes devoid of using abuse substances. And if the coaches are not aware, maybe they, if you take this drug, it will make you run faster. But if the coaches are aware of the danger and hazards and the punitive measures behind those things, they will impact the knowledge to the athletes. So that's why we are adding to the international courses here. So if you have international certificate, but you also have additional knowledge that other in the different country will not get. That makes the Ghanaian situation very, very unique. And our situation is highly revered in Africa and in the world. We don't want to reduce the standard. So we want to increase it. And the level one, we are always going to increase more content into our program. The higher you go, the more depth our courses becomes. And fortunately, we are situated within a sports university. We can easily leverage on their lectures, who are some of them are very good friends of mine. Can you leverage on them for them to come and help in terms of content development? And we also appreciate them for support, because nobody can come and give his knowledge to you for free. So we are working towards that for the content. The content is rich.
Let's also talk about, you know, striking relationships with external universities, you know, universities in the Americas, in Europe, who obviously are more advanced when it comes to this sector. Yes. And are better placed to extend the hand of support to you. Is it part of your plan?
Yes, currently we have a collaboration with a university in Australia and in US. They want to run a fitness course here. And so we signed an MOU with them. We are still working how to improve upon this building, because they need a certain infrastructure to be put in place. So that's what we are currently working on. And we are also in touch with Kenya, Athletic Sports and Development Center in Kenya. We also are tied with Triathlon Development Center in Egypt for them to expand our courses beyond level one, so that we're able to train elite coaches in both triathlon and athletics. And after we settled down very, very well, I also engaged other federations here to see how we can work with them to incorporate their international programs into our local programs here. So that when we are going to do, maybe I want to do ITF program, we should be able to have the ITF support and the GTF support here, so that we do it together. But we want to add our local content into them, so that they don't just go out with tennis knowledge, but they have to go out with knowledge in tennis, with knowledge of management, with knowledge of treatment, with knowledge of nutrition. These three things goes to make a coach a better coach. Because if you don't know the nutritional value of the substance or the food that your athletes take, you are short. If you don't know how to manage athletes, you are also short of becoming a full coach. But so if we are going to improve upon the coaching, we have, as a matter of necessity, add all those things to the international programs, so that the coaching will come out well equipped and well informed. So that when they're able to handle the athlete, they should be able to handle the coach from the training to the household, to the nutrition, to the injuries, and to the medication at a time. But as one move from basic to level one, we are going to increase more, the depth of the courses is going to go deeper. And the more extensive there, we are going to increase it. So before you get to level two, you should be an elite coach, a coach that can take an Olympic-style sportsman or sportswoman or world championship standard of an athlete that you should be able to take. The basis is going to be introduction to the sports. Level one is general sports development or sports coaching. Level two is specific. I'm using athletic more because I'm very familiar with athletics. I don't want to veer into into other discipline that I may find myself wanting. So when you go to level two, level one is general, level two is specifics. Level three, we call it elite coaching. They are going to coach you or train you how to coach an Olympic or world standard athlete. So that one, you either choose a sprint, 100 or 200 alone, or you take middle and long distance, 800, 1,000, 5, or you choose long distance, 5,000, 10,000, or you choose road race. Now they have divided into those groups. You can go and do early coaching in only road race. Marathons, half marathons, 12 kilometers, those things, you specialize on those things to be able to, because you can't take at that level, you can't take so many athletes. You can't take 3 or 4 or 5 events to be able to coach to the Olympic standard. You may not be able to achieve your aim. So if you are going to bring a sprint coach, 100 and 200, you specialize in 100 and 200. Sometimes 400 stands alone. Specialize in 400. You can specialize in 800 and 1,500. So in the near future, that's where we want to get to in the near, maybe 2 or 3 years' time. But now we are starting with the basics. We develop a very good content, as I indicated earlier on. So from the basic, you go to level 1 for a year. But to go to level 2 and level 3, we need a couple of years before we're able to develop to that level.
Now, let's go into how this, how this whole mix and how this whole curriculum feeds into our showing at the Olympics. And talk about that. Before you answer that, we'd also like to pay our respects to the memory of Clement Aikwote, who was a silver medalist at the 1960 Games in Milan, an Olympic silver medalist who opened the floodgates, or opened the way, if I may say, for others to follow in that regard. The legendary Eddie Blay getting a medal in the Olympics in boxing as well, and Prince Amate, also of blessed memory, getting a medal. And then later, during the COVID year in 2020, in the 2020 edition of the Games, hosted the next year, Samuel Tichy also winning a medal in boxing. In the early 90s, we saw Coach Samade and his Black Satellites team go to Barcelona and win the only medal that Ghana has won in football at the Olympic Games, and also the very first medal that was won in football at the Olympics for Africa. Now, Clement Aikwote is the senior brother of Ike Bazuka Kwote, the former WBA welterweight champion. Last weekend there was a lot of misinformation flying around, but it's the senior Clement Aikwote who has passed on. He died at 86. He had 2 children, lived a lot of his retirement in the UK. And so we like to say our hearts go out to his family, to Ike Bazuka Kwote, the rest of the family. And the example that they have left are the templates that we're still running on as a nation. So, to the question about how we can use this place to strategically position ourselves for participation in the Olympic Games, in the Commonwealth Games, and other like multidisciplinary sporting platforms, and that we perform. Because the minus that we always have is that we don't prepare ahead of time, and then we wait till the last minute, start relying on athletes who have found their way to get themselves up there in terms of form.
The starting point for Olympic or World Championship glory should start from the college.
Good.
In terms of coaching, in terms of camping, in terms of training, if we have all the facilities that we've said we are going to have, if we have a swimming pool here, if we have a gymnasium here, have a tennis here, we have a basketball court, volleyball court, we have athletic field tracks here, the football, why can't we camp our athletes here, sportsmen, for them to train here? The coaches are trained here for them to be trained. The athletes will stay here for 2-3 years training, go out and compete, and come back and train, go back to compete, and come back to train. If you're able to do that, Nat, I can tell you that Ghana will not even win only medals at the Olympic Games, but also in the World Championship, and it will not be one sport. It's not going to be one sport. There are 3-4 sports that if we put our resources in can win those things as quickly as we want. But the first and foremost, we need to fix the college properly to be able to accommodate good athletes and good coaching. for them to be able to train them well. We lack those facilities. That's why we are not performing so well at that place. I can give you an classical example in 2012 when we camped some athletes in Accra for 6 months. And through that, we got Jonathan Pansa, we got John Ampuma, we got Elizabeth Dazi, we got about 12 athletes that came out from the camping. That told us that if you're able to camp athletes for at least 1 year to 2 years, we should be able to produce more international stars in this country here. But the problem is always that where do you camp them? And how long can you camp them? And who will be the coaches? Because you can't take basic or level one coaches to go and coach an Olympic sized athlete. You are just going to waste time there. So we have to have the level two coaches. Thankfully, we have two or three of them currently in Ghana here, and there are a few others in the US. If you're able to have a very nice accommodation here, that we can bring our foreign based athletes during their holidays. They come and camp here, we have a nice tracks here, we have a nice football pitch here, we have a nice tennis court here, we have a nice swimming pool here. The swimmers can come and camp here and train. The tennis player can come and camp here and train. Athletes can camp here and train. Basketball, volleyball can come and camp here and train. The 3-4 months. You have to repeat that couple of years. We are going to produce the international stars. We are not able to control our athletes very well because we are not able to support them or help them to train properly. As you said, sometimes the athletes go on their own to qualify, with or without the state support. And when they qualify, at least as soon as he qualifies for the Olympic or World Championship, he has achieved what he's looking for. He will go. And now what is now left is how is he going to perform there? If the state will not support him, he can't perform very well at the Olympic level or at the World Championship level. Because that one, the financial model that the athletes need to be able to train very well is higher, is higher than the athletes themselves.
And we need to also slip in the story of Evans Kadman Yeboah, high jump champion from the African Games. you granted us an interview sometime during the week to assure that this problem will be solved. Yep. What else have you picked up regarding the level of response to his plight? He finds himself in university and he runs a risk of being expelled because of financial problems.
His story is a uniquely sad. And I sympathize with him very well. I was just thinking if I were to be in his shoes, what would I be thinking? I mean, he can't even have the free mind to study very well. But I engaged the ministry. There's a positive response from the ministry, but positive response is different from
actuals.
Yes. But positive response is at least we are hopeful. So I'm going back there tomorrow to talk to Chief.
You mean on Monday?
No.
On Monday, yeah, on Monday.
Tomorrow, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
Monday.
Monday, sorry. Sure. I'm seeing the Chief Director on Monday after the rugby program.
Very well.
So that we'll see how the ministry can support. Definitely the ministry need to support him, even though sometimes it's not the traditional support, but the ministry will support. I know the ministry will support. And I would like to advise the athletes that they shouldn't wait to this minute that those things are coming out. Because we had a couple of those issues that we were able to resolve it as quickly as it came. But this one, it came a bit late. But we're not blaming him. Maybe he was overtaken by circumstances. But we will do whatever we have to do to get that problem resolved. But I urge athletes that whatever problem they have, they should come out as early as possible, so that will help them resolve it. Abigail Quarten has similar case. Similar. So it's exactly the same case. He also lost his eligibility and he also lost his 1 year scholarship.
Wow.
Yes, from Alabama University. But she came much a year before. So we started working on it. Before he completed the last eligibility year, we found a solution to it and he was able to complete her master's program. So it's we'll see to it that he had the money to pay for the fees, but we also urge the athletes that whoever have similar situation should not wait. They should let us know as quickly as possible so that together we'll help them resolve that.
Mm. You've mentioned the Women's Rugby Sevens, the African Rugby Sevens competition that's happening here, you know, today and tomorrow in Accra. A very big deal. I mean, we have the defending champion South Africa together with Ghana, who are host, and 10 other countries representing in this two-day competition. And of course, Mr. Herbert Mensah is the president of Rugby Africa, and he, through his instrumentality, has pulled this here. And this obviously is one of the things we're talking about when it comes to sports tourism and placing ourselves strategically to be hosting some of these. I mean, when we look at Morocco, for instance, Morocco is leading the charge. They have managed to secure a co-hosting bid for the FIFA World Cup. But this is amazing stuff. And I'm sure you've got some final words to share with our friends at Ghana Rugby for putting this together and hosting the rest of the continent.
Haven't personally.